Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. If there's something you'd like to talk about, now is a good time to call 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to share Psalm 103, just the first four verses of that particular psalm. I think it's just really appropriate for this time of the year. And David wrote this, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly." I think as we end 2013 and we look forward to 2014, one of the most appropriate ways to do that is to look back at God's hand in your life. How did he love you and care for you and provide for you and meet every one of your needs? And I think as you look back on 2013 with those questions in mind, I think you'll be very surprised. A lot of times we go through life and we get so down at life circumstances, what life is throwing at us. We feel beaten down and pressed down and all of those sort of things. And we get our eyes focused on the world and all the difficulties, the trials and the tribulations. And when we do, we can't see all of the wonderful things that God does for us in the person of Jesus Christ. But this psalm is a great reminder to look at those things and to never forget what Christ does for us each and every day, how he loves us each and every day, how he cares for us each and every day, how he meets all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And so we can say with David, I am going to praise the Lord with my whole heart. I'm going to praise his holy name. That is a great way to end a year and start a new year looking forward to his blessings in the next 365 days that we're going to experience here on planet Earth.
Absolutely. Well, of course, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. The lines are wide open right now, so don't miss this opportunity to call and pose your question or to discuss your particular life issue. If you have some circumstance that's troubling, we'd love to discuss it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. That's good right now, 1-800-677-9377 in the U.S. and in Canada. Bob, a question from Brent. This kind of gets to an area that we don't talk about a lot, but he says 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, talks about God sending an evil spirit to Saul. He says, I am struggling with the concept of God sending an evil spirit. Did the evil spirit answer to God or some other power? Does this contradict the attribute of God being all good? I know there is a logical answer here, but I'm really struggling with the concept that God has evil spirits. That's from Brent, who writes to us from Olathe, Kansas.
Well, that's a good question, and it does bring that point down. Is God in control of everything? Is he sovereign? And the answer to that is yes, he is. He is sovereign, and he uses all things ultimately for his purpose. Evil spirits and all of that sort of thing are nothing as far as God is concerned, and he can use them for his eternal purposes. And I think that's all that was happening here. Saul had a heart that started to stray from God. He became self-absorbed, very self-centered, very egotistical. He was jealous of the fact that somebody might come and replace him. And there was a point in time when the Holy Spirit was taken from Saul, and David was named as the king, the new king. And it was David that became the standard bearer as far as kingship was concerned. And it was in his in his place that Jesus was going to come and sit.
Right.
And so David was the prototype of that. And so this is just simply a passage saying that all things are under God's control. The enemy may think that he's accomplishing one thing, but when he looks back at it, he sees that God accomplished something completely different in spite of what these evil spirits were doing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, we hope that, that Brent's listening and that's been a help to you. If you have a question that you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we would love for you to drop us an email. You'll find a prominent link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. Lots of time on the clock, and we want you to take advantage of this opportunity to call and speak with us. 1-800-677-9377. A question from Kyle from Georgia. McDonough, Georgia, as a matter of fact, says, after reading the story of Jesus casting out the demon, after his disciples were unable to do that, according to the book of Mark, he says, I was interested in what Jesus meant in verse 9:29. After reading the same story in different translations, I realized the reference to fasting is left out, and it only refers to prayer. This has sparked my curiosity as how or if fasting is relevant to the new covenant believer. It's not a subject that I hear being discussed at all that often. Any insight you have would be greatly appreciated. That's from Kyle in McDonough, Georgia.
Well, a great question, and you know, he's right in saying that the later manuscripts simply say this kind can be cast out only by prayer. There were manuscripts that included and fasting in that, but those would have been later manuscripts when they found manuscripts that were dated closer to the actual time of the writing. And fasting was not included. Uh-huh. And so that's why it's not included in some of these newer translations, because the earlier manuscripts don't have it. But we take a verse like this and we concentrate on prayer and fasting. My prayer, my fasting can do great things for God. And when we do that, we miss the point of the passage. It is talking about faith. Faith has to have an object. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and in his word. He's the one that cast out demons, not us.
Right.
He's the only one that has that power. And if we have the faith of a mustard seed, as the writers of these gospel accounts tell us, then we can move mountains and we can do incredible things. That faith is expressed in prayer, but it's not our prayer. It's not us doing the work. It's Christ doing the work. Faith is that connection point, that connector that allows us to see Jesus Christ do his work in certain situations.
Yeah.
So we get our focus on what I should be doing. You know, how should I be praying? How should I be fasting? And when we do, I think we miss the point of these stories. It's how should I be trusting Jesus to do the work? That is the critical issue.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate hearing from Kyle. And again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Bob, of course, we have a wonderful offer this week, this month, as a matter of fact, coming into an end pretty quickly. Forgiveness, the Door to Life, available for a gift of any amount to this ministry. And friends, we'd like to get a copy into your hands. To make your gift and request your copy, you can go online to basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Forgiveness, the Door to Life. Here's for a gift of any amount to the ministry, and we're coming up on the 31st very rapidly.
Yes, we are.
Like tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night. And we certainly want to end the year in a great position to start next year, to continue to reach out and to share this wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. But we can only do so with your help. And it's very vital for us to know that we are going to finish the year in the black. If we finish in the red, that means we will have to look at some ministry things that we're doing now, really evaluate those and see if we want to continue on certain stations or doing some other things that we're currently doing. So we need your support right now.
Yeah.
We've been saying over the last several weeks that we needed $250,000 before year end. We've had many people step up to the plate, and we say thank you for your support at this time of the year. But we still need about $140,000 to really end the year strong. We can do that. God can work in the hearts of people. It doesn't take much, but if a lot of people will do a little bit, we can see that need met. So absolutely, we're trusting the Lord to work in the hearts of people all around the United States to close this gap, to end the year in the black, so that we can start next year in a very, very strong position.
Yeah. There are three excellent ways that you can contribute to the ministry. We've talked about two of them: the website, basicgospel.net, where you can go and make your contribution. You can speak with our operator, Billy, at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. And another way is to drop a check in the mail, and you can do that to Basic Gospel, and the address is 1225 East Rosemead Parkway. That's Carrollton, Texas, Carrollton, Carrollton, Texas, and the zip is 75007. Again, 1225 East Rosemead Parkway, Carrollton, Texas, 75007. Either of three ways is a great way to support this ministry. And as I said, for a gift of any amount, we'll get you that booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And I think you're going to be very pleased with it, and perhaps want copies to pass along to friends and family members.
Yes, indeed. It's a marvelous resource. It's the number one issue that we talk about on this broadcast, forgiveness. Why? Because folks struggle with that. Folks are confused. Are their sins forgiven or are they not? And the Word has some very sound, clear, solid, just in-your-face stuff that says, in Christ, you are a forgiven person.
Right.
Believe it.
Yes.
Embrace it. Take hold of that. Live in that forgiveness each and every day. So this is a vital subject. We want to put this in your hands, so take advantage of this.
Hear it, believe it, live it.
Absolutely. Well, let's go talk to Robert in Yorktown, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Speaking of forgiveness, I have a trouble forgiving somebody that really hurt me, you know. And I think in my heart I believed in forgiving them, but it's hard for me to actually do it.
Well, Robert, that's the truth for all of us. We know we should, but we're not sure that we actually want to. And that's
right.
The real issue right there. And I think, Robert, we have to come to a point and recognize the fact that Jesus Christ died for that person that hurt you. He died to take away that sin. He shed his blood. And that, you know, as we really embrace that, as we really understand that not only did Christ die for my sins, but he died for that guy's sins too. That guy that I don't really like right now, Jesus died for him. He had him on his mind 2,000 years ago. Then that changes things somewhat. And so I think you start right there. The fact that Christ has forgiven you, the fact that Christ is not counting that sin against this person. You start right there. And you allow that truth to start working its way through your mind and changing the way you think about this. And it'll bring you to the point where you say, first, Lord, I forgive him in my heart. I'm not going to count this against him. I'm not going to try to get even. I'm not going to try to, you know, to bring justice into the situation. I'm going to forgive him in my heart. And then I'm going to trust you to move me to take that step and say and go to him and say, I forgive you for doing this.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, is it a matter of time? Is it just let time work?
Well, it's not about time. I mean, we have that phrase, time heals, but time doesn't really do anything but pass. It's Jesus Christ that heals. And he does so over time. And so you want to allow Christ to heal your hurt, to heal your heart, so that you can forgive from your heart. And then you can actually take that step and say to that person, look at him square in the eye and say, I forgive you for what you've done. Does that make sense?
It does. Everything you say, I truly believe. But when it comes to actually doing it, I just get so enraged at that person that I have to come to it, you know.
Well, Robert, absolutely, and that's why it's a process. We try to reduce, Christianity down to a formula. If I can just do these three steps, then everything's going to be okay. That's just not how it works. We have emotions and feelings, and we have hearts that hurt, and they get hurt by others, and then we hurt others. So this forgiveness is such a critical aspect of just day-to-day life. And so you first need to recognize that Christ has forgiven you, that Christ no longer counts that sin against that person that hurt you. When you recognize that, embrace that, then you can say in your heart, I forgive this person. And then that will empower you to take the step of saying to that person, I forgive you for what you've done. And it's important for you. You don't want a root of bitterness to grow in your heart. That's going to make it awful for you. So forgiving your enemies is critical for your own spiritual health.
Well, I think that's a very good advice. I mean, you're right about the act of forgiveness removes that pain in your heart, and that's the peace that God said he's going to give you. It's his, not the peace of the world, but the peace that Jesus gives you in your heart.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, Robert, I would love to hear back from you as as God works in your heart and you actually do take that step. I'd love to hear kind of the story of what took place and what that meant to you, kind of the release in your own heart. I would love to hear about that, and as that takes place, would you call us back?
Absolutely, that's great. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, you hang on, Robert, and thanks for your call today.
Little time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, that's why this forgiveness thing is so critical. I mean, we have our own issues, you know, does God forgive me? But there's also these issues, one with another.
Yes.
I mean, we are human beings. We hurt others, and then we're hurt by others. Well, how are we going to stay in relationship? How are we going to continue to be friends, or to continue to be, you know, husbands and wives, or parents and, you know, sons and daughters and that sort of thing, if we don't forgive?
Yeah.
Forgiveness is just a critical part of everyday life. But if we're going to forgive others in a way that's going to be healthy and meaningful to us, we've got to first know how Christ has forgiven us. Yeah, so that's why this booklet is so vitally important. Yeah.
And again, it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry, and you can go online to basicgospel.net, click the link on the homepage there, or call and speak with our operator to request your copy and make your gift, 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk with Oscar living in Mount Vernon, New York. Hi, Oscar.
Hi. Yes, there is something I don't quite understand. My understanding of hell is a graveyard. But there is a story I see that the rich man, he looked up and he lifted up his eyes and he saw the poor man in heaven in Abraham's bosom.
Correct.
And it seems to me that he had conscience. So my question is, is there a place where the unsaved, those who die unsaved, are still in, have some kind of conscience to life, or whether, because my understanding of the unsaved, once you die, that's it, is you don't come back to life. In other words, the graveyard is hell, is a graveyard. So if a graveyard is where the dead are, how can an unsaved person can still have conscience? Lifted up his eyes, he saw. I don't quite understand these verses.
Well, Oscar, let me see if I can couch it like this. When you and I come into this world, we are attached to Adam. So he fell. He experienced separation from God. And as a result of that, when we come into the world, we experience separation from God. That's called spiritual death. We sometimes talk about it in terms of an emptiness inside. We feel like there's a hole in our heart. There's something wrong. Well, all of that is symptomatic of the fact that we are spiritually dead. And yet we're conscious, aren't we? We know that there's something wrong with us. That's why we ask those questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those flow from that problem that exists within. So we're spiritually dead before coming to Christ. When we come to Christ, we're made alive. Those who do not come to Christ just remain spiritually dead. When their bodies die, their spirits and souls still live, but they live in a state of separation from God. That's called death. God is life. Anybody that's apart from God is spiritually dead. They don't have that life. So hell is going to be a place for those who have never received spiritual life through faith in Jesus Christ. And they will have an eternal punishment. And they will feel that and sense that and experience that eternally. So that's what hell is. It's that place where folks are eternally separated from God, because that's really what death is.
So physical death is not, if a person is not saved, this physical death is not completely over. In other words, in the next, the Bible speaks about a new heavens, new earth, and a new body for those that God saves. In a new heavens and a new earth, is there still going to be a place where people will be in torment, those who are not saved?
Well, not in the new heavens and the new earth. That those are going to be
this life
done for believers. Those who are outside of Christ, who have never received Christ, there's another place for them that's outside of that, that's how the Bible describes it.
What's the definition of the second death in the Book of Revelation? It speaks about hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and it says this is the second death.
Well, that's when that final judgment that Jesus gives to those who have not received him is fully effective. So right now, like I said, when somebody that's here today who is lost, they're spiritually dead. So they're kind of that first death. And if nothing ever happens as far as their faith in Jesus Christ is concerned, when their bodies die and then are raised back to life to face that final judgment at the white throne judgment, there's going to be a pronouncement, and that pronouncement is guilty, and there's going to be a judgment, and that judgment is going to be death, and so they're going to experience that second death, and that's an eternal state. And that's what that's talking about. Well, Oscar, we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We love being here for you every day. We love telling of the fullness of God's love and grace, and what a privilege we have in proclaiming him to you. If you agree that this message is vital to the body of Christ in your area, and if what you hear each day on this program is benefiting you, we need your help to keep the good news coming. We believe it's the most important message on the airwaves. It's why we're here every day, and we have to believe it's why you listen too. But as you've often heard, it requires financial resources to remain on the air. In fact, we need to see an additional $130,000 to $40,000 by the end of the month, as Bob said a little bit earlier. And we know that many of you can step up with a significant year-end gift to help meet that need. $10, $100, $500, $5,000 or more. Every gift helps. I hope we can count on you to keep the message on the air. No one else is going to do it, so we need your help, your support right now before the clock strikes midnight on the 31st. Whatever you can do, we need you to stand with us. Give what you can, and may God bless you and your gift to Basic Gospel. As a reminder, the booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift, request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. You can do that right now. Again, 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live and lively edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.